How was our universe born? And if this seems hard to answer, then how about this? What was before our universe? While scientists are looking for the answer to the most difficult question in history, let's find out what they've come up with so far. In the 20th century, we've shed the light on this mystery, all thanks to this man, Edwin Hubble. One day on Mount Wilson in Southern California, he aimed his telescope at the sky and found out that these random clouds of gas flying everywhere are actually other galaxies. And there are a lot of them. And also, he learned something else. Something that changed the world forever. They're moving. So what, you may ask? Well, it meant one very important thing. The universe is expanding. And if it's expanding, then it probably had a beginning somewhere, right? Now, all we have to do is run time backwards and see where the beginning was. It took the scientists many more years to come up with a full-fledged theory, the Big Bang Theory. And here it is. Nothing has ever been anywhere because neither when nor where existed. Do you get it? But actually, no. There was one thing. It was the so-called cosmic singularity. A state of our universe in which it was incredibly small, dense, and very hot. Imagine if our universe was compressed into a small ball. The pressure and temperature inside would be enormous. At some point, it became impossible to withstand them. And here comes the Big Bang. It was an outburst of energy and matter that created everything we see now. Time and space, basic physical forces. It also scattered quarks everywhere. These quarks, tiny particles that make up our world, were all boiling in an incredibly hot cosmic broth. When it cooled down, gravity began to attract them to each other. They gathered into atoms, then molecules, and then into the first objects into the world, stars. And all this happened just some 12 to 14 billion years ago. All right, now we know how our universe was created, but what was before that? Alan Harvey Guth, an American theoretical physicist and cosmologist, has devoted his whole life to solving this mystery. After learning about the Big Bang Theory, Guth found some flaws in it. For example, the distribution of matter was very even, although it shouldn't have been. Let's hang a balloon filled with paint to the ceiling and lay a white canvas on the floor. If we drop the balloon down, it will burst and we'll see absolute chaos on the canvas. A bunch of spots scattered everywhere randomly. Neither is like the other. But that's not really what the universe looked like. Instead of throwing a colored ball from the ceiling, let's draw a small red dot on the canvas. Now, let's expand it a little more and more and capture this all on frame-by-frame shooting. We'll see a circle gradually growing in all directions. That's the reality. The early universe was very even and proportional. That was Guth's discovery, the theory of inflation. Here's what it says. Even before the Big Bang, there was some kind of force that could give the bang a strong acceleration, something that was able to distribute everything in space instantly and evenly. Guth's theory was a success, and now most scientists rely on it.
In 1991, a cosmologist from Stanford University named Andre Linde had submitted an article with the main idea that there was a possibility the universe had been created in a laboratory. His theory said there was a chance an advanced civilization somewhere out there had created our universe. This civilization has made an entirely new cosmos that later evolved its own planets, stars, and intelligent forms of life. 30 years later, many scientists take this theory pretty seriously. They even started talking about things that we, as a civilization, can do to get to such an advanced level. The theory says this advanced civilization decided to add technology that helped to create a new universe out of nothing. It happened through quantum tunneling. It's when an atom can appear on the opposite side of some barrier, even though it's supposed to be impossible, considering the laws of physics of our world. Like if you wanted to pass a tall wall, but you can't pass it with ladders or go around somewhere. Imagine you can just walk through it like a ghost. In our world, it's not possible, but a more advanced civilization perhaps can do it. Plus, they realized how they could create new universes. Right now, on the cosmic scale, we could be a Class C civilization. We don't know how to recreate some things. For example, conditions on the Earth for when our central star, the Sun, goes out. If we manage to become a Class B civilization, we'll learn to adjust conditions to be independent of the Sun. That means we might be able to learn how to live even without it. And if we level up and become Class A, we'll know how to recreate cosmic conditions and produce our own cosmos in our laboratories. We think of the world we live in through three dimensions of space: east, west, north, south, and up, down. There's also one dimension of time, which means we can distinguish past from future. A fifth dimension would represent one more extra dimension of space. The theory of its existence was first mentioned in the 1920s. It was inspired by the theory of gravity by Albert Einstein, who said space-time is warped by matter and energy. We can't perceive these four dimensions, but we see how an object moves and attribute it to gravity. And maybe there's some other force, like the electromagnetic force, that's more than 1,000 times stronger than gravity, that could explain things going on in that extra dimension of space. The fifth dimension is curved in a way we can't see it, but the idea about it was mentioned in a string theory. It considers the universe as really small strings of mass energy, not as particles. They vibrate in 10-dimensional space-time, considering six dimensions are rolled up way smaller than a single atom. That led to the picture of the universe as a 3D island that floats in 10-dimensional space-time. Also, the fifth dimension might be an excellent explanation to tell us more about dark matter. That's the invisible stuff with a mass, but we can't see it, nor can it interact with ordinary matter. And dark matter is 85% of all the matter in our universe. Look up when the sky is clear at night. You'll see thousands of tiny bright dots there. It may seem like they're fixed in one spot, but in reality, they're constantly moving. In 100,000 years, there won't be a constellation with the same shape or pattern we know today. And think about all those red dwarfs, small stars, planets, space bodies we can't see with the unaided eye. Red dwarf stars are especially cool. They're usually about half the size of our sun, and mostly one-tenth as bright. They may not be the brightest things in the sky, but they live for a very, very long time. Nuclear fusion reactions happen deep in star cores. That's what makes them shine. Large stars release huge amounts of energy, burning their stellar fuel. But such stars tend to burn all their fuel in only a couple of million years. Stars like our sun usually live for about 10 billion years, but red dwarfs don't use that much of their fuel. Their light is not so powerful, and they don't require much energy to support their existence. They're like energy-efficient cars. That's why they can last hundreds of billions of years. Some of the smallest ones may live for up to 10 trillion years. Most hydrogen in sun-like stars remains unspent. There's more of this gas in the atmosphere rather than in the core of such stars. This means most hydrogen doesn't take part in the fusion reactions. But it's different with red dwarfs. They circulate plasma throughout their entire bodies. These stars pull fresh hydrogen reserves from their outer layers into their core. That's what keeps fusion reactions running. One day, in the distant future, stars like our sun will run out of fuel and shut down. The universe will be full of small red dwarfs. They won't have enough energy to shine and brighten the space around them. Our descendants, if there are any, will inherit a dim, dark cosmos. As it gets older, the sun will balloon to a size where it will destroy nearby planets. First Mercury, then Venus, and then us. On the other hand, Earth will probably survive, but barely and not for long. A recent study suggests the universe is similar to your brain, only at a much, much larger scale. The brain's neural network contains about 86 billion neurons. The observable universe has at least 100 billion galaxies. Both galaxies and neurons have a similar structure. It's a complex web of nodes linking up long thread-like fibers. but in each of these systems, the fibers make up a mere 30% of the total mass, and the remaining 70% are either water in the brain or dark energy in the universe. The ways that galaxies and webs of neurons connect with one another are surprisingly similar. In both cases, the process follows the same physical principles. At the same time, some researchers claim the resemblance between the brain and the universe is only superficial. Your mind perceives tiny details and joins them, and then it comes up with a conclusion that has nothing in common with reality, like the brain is a mini-universe. In billions of years, the universe is likely to expand so much that we won't be able to see any stars in the sky. To turn Earth into a black hole, you'd have to squeeze it until it was the size of a marble. And if you wanted the sun to become a black hole, you'd have to compress it until it's no more than 4 miles across. A starburst galaxy is a galaxy that's forming tons of new stars at breakneck speed. It usually happens after two galaxies merge into one. While Earth has only one natural satellite, Jupiter is surrounded by at least 79 moons. In the universe, there are not only dwarf planets, but also dwarf galaxies. They have from 1,000 to a few billion stars. For comparison, the Milky Way galaxy is made up of 250 to 400 billion stars. A supermassive black hole 250 million light-years away from Earth hums the deepest sound ever detected from any object in the universe. It's 1 quadrillion, which is 1 with 15 zeros, times deeper than what the human ear can hear. Planet Kelt-9b is 670 light-years away from Earth. It's an ultra-hot Jupiter. Those are giant, scorching hot planets with a mass similar to that of Jupiter. On Kelt-9b, the heat is so great on the day side of the planet, it tears molecules apart. Any liquid floating in outer space forms itself into a sphere. It also happens in low Earth orbit. Our home Milky Way galaxy is more than 105,000 light-years across. All the planets of the solar system would fit between Earth and the Moon with some space to spare. Black holes spaghettify things. It happens when something gets past the point of no return. Then the black hole's gravitational pull starts to stretch this object in one direction and squeeze in another. The first celestial body that astronomers identified as a spiral was the Whirlpool Galaxy. Its long arms are made of gas and stars, and everything is sprinkled with fine space dust. When you're on Earth, you can only see 5% of the universe. A star coming too close to a black hole can be torn apart by its gravitational force. WASP-12b is a giant planet 1,400 light-years away from Earth. It's made up mostly of gas. Unfortunately, the planet is doomed. It orbits too close to its parent star. In about 10 million years, WASP-12b will be swallowed by its greedy sun. Our Milky Way galaxy and the Andromeda galaxy, its closest neighbor, are going to meet in a bit less than 4 billion years. When they collide, they'll form one huge elliptical galaxy. One of Saturn's smaller moons, Enceladus, reflects almost 90% of the sun's light. It makes the moon one of the brightest objects in the solar system. But since it reflects sunlight instead of absorbing it, the temperatures on Enceladus's icy surface drop to negative 330 degrees Fahrenheit. The highest mountain in the solar system is Olympus Mons on Mars. It's 3 times as high as Mount Everest. If you were standing on top of Olympus Mons, its slopes would be hidden by the planet's curvature. In our solar system, Mercury and Venus are the only 2 planets without moons. Scientists who are planning to send droids to Mars want to load the machines with lots of heavy equipment. The droids will also be built from stronger materials, all because of the relatively low gravity on the red planet. everything on Mars is almost 3 times lighter than on Earth. Pluto's largest moon is half the size of the dwarf planet itself. This makes Charon, that's the moon's name, the largest known satellite relative to its parent's size.
Empty space is not really empty. At least, that's what quantum field theory says. It's actually filled with tiny vibrations that can turn into virtual particles if they have enough energy. These virtual particles can produce packets of light with low energy called photons. Now, there's something every black hole has. An event horizon. It's a point of no return. That means once something crosses that point, it can never get away. Not even light. And there's an insanely strong gravitational force around the event horizon. Black holes survive by gobbling up gas and stars around them. In most cases, a black hole has a swirling disk of material that surrounds it, called an accretion disk. It glows brightly as all those things that come too close to an event horizon get heated up and torn apart before the black hole swallows them all. As material comes closer, it starts to travel and move faster and faster, going all around the black hole. This makes the accretion disk glow and, at the same time, outlines the shadow of the black hole, which is basically the very event horizon we're talking about. Black holes might even want to hide, but they do so awfully badly. According to Einstein's theory of general relativity, gravity bends and warps space and time. It means that the closer you come to this extremely powerful gravitational pull around the black hole, the more twisted space and time around it become. That's what Stephen Hawking was talking about nearly 50 years ago, and it doesn't stop there. He also suggested that if these particles find a way to escape a black hole, they steal some of its energy. And because of these thieves, the black hole loses its energy as time goes by until it, at one point, completely disappears. He suggested that black holes release energy in the form of thermal energy or heat, which is called Hawking radiation. And this radiation doesn't carry any information. It means that when a black hole evaporates, it destroys all information it had about the star that created the black hole. That way, we can't know what really happened. And it's kind of confusing because the laws of quantum mechanics say the information can't be destroyed. This conflict is something we call the Hawking information paradox. According to Hawking, all this information isn't really lost, but is stored in a cloud of all those zero-energy particles that surround the black hole. He called that soft hair. Now, there's this new study as a possible solution to this paradox. Maybe Hawking radiation is non-thermal. Instead of just releasing plain heat, it's possible the black hole sends out a message in the form of radiation. This message contains important information about the black hole's past, the stars that formed it, and other details we thought were lost forever. It's like a secret code that tells us all about the history of the black hole.
TRES 2b, or not to be, is a planet where night never ends. And it's not your regular night with stars shining in the beautiful skies. Here, it's pitch dark and scorching hot. TRES 2b is a gas giant, roughly 1.5 times more massive than Jupiter, and its surface absorbs light better than charcoal. It might also have a faint dark red glow because of its burning air, which is as hot as fresh lava. Lovely. In the star system of 55 Cancri, there are 5 planets, 4 of which are gas giants similar to Jupiter and Saturn. But the 5th one, or rather the 1st, because it's closest to the star, is different in a most horrible way. 55 Cancri E is so close to its sun that half the planet's surface is a literal ocean of molten lava. The other half is in eternal darkness because it never sees the sun. The planet is always turned to its star on one side. And between the scorching and the dark, there's the twilight zone, a thin strip of gloomy nothingness. That's a getaway spot. HD 189377b, I'm not going to say that again, is the only exoplanet in the orbit of its star. And at first glance, it looks quite pretty, blue and white swirls making up wondrous patterns on the surface. But these pleasant colors actually come from hard silicate particles in the planet's atmosphere, which means it rains glass here. But the worst is that winds reach the speed of 5,400 miles per hour, or almost Mach 7. Well, for comparison, the fastest wind speed on Earth was 254 miles per hour, over 20 times less. Thus, the glass falling from the sky travels horizontally at hypersonic speeds, shredding everything in its path. Better duck. That's it for today. So hey, if you pacified your curiosity, then give the video a like and share it with your friends. Or if you want more, just click on these videos and stay on the bright side.